blessed cross of Christ, what day I came, where spring of living water did I, drinking at the springs of living water, back in our mind, my soul inside his eye, drinking at the springs of living water, wonderful and bountiful supply. I'll drink the living water from the hills of God. I'm happy all the way. Now holy grace and blessing mark the path I'm trod. I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Drinking at the springs of living water. Drinking out my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water. Wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh, sinner, won't you come?
Thank you. much beat, a little too much rhythm, a little too much jive, in my opinion, and I love it. But when you pick a song like this and sing it slow, Jesus paid it all. It's great. It's great. You go slow and consider that Jesus paid it all. We don't have to have all of any one beat, any one song.
I just looked for the title of the song and I didn't really expect it to be here. It's a special that I used to sing, was requested to sing it on television quite a few times. And it's He Washed My Eyes with Tears. It's real. You don't know it. Nobody else knows it. I'll sing a little bit of it. It goes like this. He washed, I can do better. He washed my eyes with tears that I might see the broken heart I had was good for me. He tore it all apart and he looked inside. He found it full of fear and foolish pride. He took away the things that made me blind. I can do better than that. He took away the things that made me blind. And then I saw the clouds were silver lined. I better quit. Anyway, he washed my eyes with tears that I might see the broken heart I had. It was good for me. He tore it all apart and looked inside. So, sometimes he does that. Let's go to 219.
Before we go there,
yeah, sure.
You know, the pastor was saying in his sermon this morning that the things we experience in our lives, he was addressing it mostly the young people, but he was speaking right to my heart. That forms us into what we are going to be. And how we use that, and the brokenness and the frustration we have with our parents and the way we perceive what they're doing as we're growing up, and how that opens the door for us if we take it God in a godly way. And use that to make our life's, I don't remember what the term was, you used, life's goal or life's calling. And how many times was my heart broken? today. And to a place where I could accept Christ and the love he had for me and the love of the Father in heaven that I never had on earth. And the ability to tell my six children and to kiss them and hug them, which I never had. And did that make me want to do that more? I believe that. I believe that. Thank you
for the sermon today. You brought him another one.
Hallelujah.
Yesterday I rode down the road with a friend. Not a Christian as we see Christians, having a churchianity. But we were talking about times, hard times, as kids, and so on. I said, you know, I'm glad that I never have to go through what I went through with my dad. But what would be worse is to go through the same thing with a son. Because I was worse than he ever thought of being. Scripture says confession is good for the soul. Testimony, I guess you know what it is? I'm here. Had lots of cards, letters, visitors, well wishers, prayers, and I feel pretty good. Like to go back and read them over. People are apologizing for not coming to see me. Don't. Because there's only so much you can tolerate. when you're sick, when you're sick, you're sick. And you just sometimes, well, there's one more. Just wonderful to have them. But I wish they'd leave so I could rest. Crazy. But I've been in a few times, and that's what happens. One of my sisters got mad at me. He don't want misery. She gets over it.
Bob told me to leave one time at the hospital, too. And his wife, we were there together. He says, I think I'm going to go to sleep now. So we took the hint. Debbie, did you have a testimony? Or do you have a song?
A little one. I'm so thankful for the Lord just talked to us. And just every little thing. And to be able to share, you know, with the children. We're headed into town one day. And the boys are leaving with my husband. Said to one of them, do you have everything? And they looked at me and they said, Mom, do you think one pair of pants will get me through the week? This dear child is a very hard size to fit, and I went, oh, Lord. So I prayed, you know, it's just a quick prayer, Lord, you've got to help us. And I found a pair for a very, very reasonable cost and fit into a tee. And it was just really a big blessing, you know, and like, as we were looking and I found this pair, I just told them, I said, did you know I was praying with these pants? And they're going, oh, I know you. for little things. You know, it's neat because they can see, you know, I'm praying for just a small thing like this, and God answered that prayer. And it's neat. You know, I'd like to share with them, you know, prayer requests and let them see as well that God does answer prayer.
Amen. George? Well, you go ahead and talk. I'm going to shut these, pull these blinds.
On Thursday, Kyle and I were up in our woods, and he scratched his eyes pretty good. And I couldn't see anything because he couldn't open it. And we got down to the house, and we're talking about it. Gail's looking at it, and neither of us can see real well. I think something's worse than me. Anyway, I put my glasses on, and I could see that it was scratched almost across the whole center of the eye. And I didn't tell her that, but I said, I think we should take him to the doctor and have it looked at. And so we're upstairs, and sometimes as parents, we get so involved in taking care of our children, we forget the necessities, like, Lord, touch his eye. So he's upstairs is Dad. Why don't we just pray for my eye? Good idea, Kyle. Good idea. So we prayed for it, and just that the Lord would heal it and bring relief to the pain and whatnot. We still took him to the doctor, and it was scratched. There was nothing in it. They put a patch over it the next day. It was relatively healed. It still has a little bit of soreness to it, but basically, they're healed. And he's got 2 eyes. How is it, Kyle?
It works pretty good.
But, you know, it's just things like that sometimes we get so involved in the hecticness and the trauma of the moment our baby is hurt, you know. And usually I'm better at it than that, but thank you, Kyle, for bringing that back to us.
Bob,
he does listen.
And thank you, Manus, for being concerned.
All Greek people have scratched their eye with a stick. I did too when I was growing up. I was playing baseball, following a ball, and didn't see the tree and ran into a tree branch.
And Kyle stepped on it and it flung up and scratched his own eyes.
So we're good company.
Yeah.
Bob?
I was just going to say, I might have been rude, but I was glad to be there.
Oh. Yeah, you know, he didn't want me there. He felt sorry for me for the surgery or something because it was early in the morning, and he didn't tell me what time it was, and he called up Debbie later and said they told me it was going to be a piece of cake. He said, I don't like their cake. Well, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I believe the message tonight will go along with what you were talking earlier about brokenness. In fact, I would say that anybody who is ever used by God has been broken. You can't be broken, and God wants to work with you and God wants to use you, but He has to have a broken vessel. And those that have never been broken never would admit to any trials in their lives or any problems, cannot relate to people, and don't have the light of Christ shining in them and through them. So God works through brokenness. You look at all the great men of the Bible, every single one of them had a time in their life when they were broken before God. The title of the message is a little unusual tonight, I will grant you. Cracked Pots for Christ. Cracked Pots for Christ. By the end of the message, I hope that everyone will say you want to be a cracked pot for Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we will begin reading with verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's begin reading with verse 5. You haven't stood a whole lot tonight, so let's stand and we'll give reverence to God's word as we read the scripture this evening. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels,
that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I would like to draw your attention to verse 7 tonight, the key verse of the message. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word this evening. We pray, Lord, that you would do a work in us as we realize the great treasure that lies within these earthen vessels of ours. We pray that we would allow the power to be demonstrated in our lives and through us. That people would realize, though, that it's not our power, but it's your power. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to look at three things tonight. The treasure, the vessel, and the power. The treasure, the vessel, and the power. First of all, the treasure. What is the treasure that is in the earthen vessel? When we ask God for forgiveness of our sins based on Christ's death on the cross for us, and we know that His Holy Spirit comes in, He indwells us, and then He acts as our guide to truth, He acts as our teacher, and He becomes our intercessor. It is the Spirit of God that shines in our hearts so that people will see Christ rather than us. You know, the kings of the earth and the rulers, when they have these great treasures, they prepare large houses, they have strong walled bars, doors, gates, guards, and bolts, in order that nobody would be able to come in and steal the treasure, so that the treasure might be preserved. But Christ did the contrary. He placed the treasure not in a stone vessel, but in an earthen one. He put the treasure in something that was just common, just downright ordinary. The idea of earthen vessels is that our bodies are ordinary, everyday containers for the extraordinary God to possess. Your body and my body is a container, is a house, is a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have the Spirit of God. We have Jesus Christ living inside of us, and these earthen vessels become pieces that contain the highest treasure. What kind of treasure it is? A supply of the Spirit, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, all of that is available to us, and all of that indwells these earthen vessels. Tremendous treasures the Lord has given us. The treasure. The treasure is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ indwelling these earthen vessels. The vessel, earthen vessels, in this body, He means that which is mortal and perishable. For just as the earthen vessel is formed from clay and fire, so also the body of His saints, being clay and receiving the energy of the spiritual fire, becomes an earthen vessel. Every single one of you tonight, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and I believe that you all have, and you allow the energy of the spiritual fire to shape you and mold you and make you into what God wants you to be, you are an earthen vessel that contains the greatest treasure the world has ever known. Now, light in a pot doesn't shine very well unless it has many, many cracks. I would like to illustrate this for you tonight. If we could have the lights off. This is an earthen vessel. But even though the light is inside of it and the light wants to shine, do you see any light shining from this earthen vessel? No, you don't. And there are some people that they might have received Christ as their Savior, and Christ is there, and the light is there, but the light is hid. The Lord wants to let His light shine through us, but we've got it all together. And His light is not able to shine through us. there is one way that this light can shine through this vessel, this earthen vessel, and that is if it's cracked, if it's broken, then the light of Christ is able to shine through. And the more cracks that you have, the greater the light that would come from you. Do you understand that the more you are broken, the greater the light will be? The more times of brokenness in your life, the more times that you surrender to Christ, the greater His light will be as it shines through you. Josh, you can turn those back. I will just keep that there for a moment. Consider all that weaknesses and abilities you have. Then the more cracks you have in your appearance. See, this is such a great thing about the gospel. The weaker you are, the more cracks you have. And Paul stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, in my cracks, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You ever stop to consider all that the Apostle Paul went through in that earthen vessel? Consider the strength of that earthen vessel in that it was not shattered. He said, a day and night I have been in the deep. He had been in the deep, in the deep waters, and the earthen vessels was not dissolved. He had suffered shipwreck, and the treasure was not lost. The ship was submerged, and yet the freight floated. But we have this treasure, Paul says, in earthen vessels. We could have went on where we were reading tonight in our text. And we saw in verse 8, Paul said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Paul went through a lot in that earthen vessel, and yet that vessel remained strong. The treasure was preserved. The treasure was made to shine out of that darkness. When we are weak, Christ makes Himself strong in us and through us. How many of you know that His abilities are much greater than ours? Aren't you glad for that? We give up, and as we give up our straining to do it and submit to His will and allow Him to work through us, He is able to shine the strongest. But listen, He is hindered when we try to cover the cracks. Oh, how many people see the weaknesses in their lives, and they try to hide those weaknesses, and they try with man-made effort and ability to cover the cracks. We look for man-made solutions to cover the weaknesses and the cracks in our life. It's like muddying up all the cracks on a candle holder, muddying up all the cracks on that clay pot. When we do that, we block the light. The Lord doesn't want us to try human efforts, and the Lord doesn't want us to mud up the weaknesses and the cracks in our life. He wants us to let those weaknesses be known, to let those weaknesses be seen so that His light can shine through us. If we try to cover our weaknesses and our failures and our frailties, nobody will ever see Christ and what He is able to do through a broken heart and through a broken person. So I'll challenge you, be glad for those cracks. Be glad for those times of brokenness. And don't be afraid to let others see them in your life. I love the story of Gideon. You know the story of Gideon going up against the Midianites. How are we ever going to defeat all these Midianites? Gideon only had 300 men. One of the things God told him to do was get a clay pot and put a light in it. And then at the sound, they were supposed to smash those clay pots, and the light then would shine through those pots. That story shows us that there is no light that can come from you unless it comes from a broken vessel. It's a thing that what God wants to use to win in your life. It's what God wants to use in your life that others might see Him. The blessing can't come until the pitcher is broken. If there's any light that's ever going to come from you, it's going to come from a broken vessel. So we've looked at the treasure, we've looked at the vessel, and finally tonight I want to look at the power. Why is this precious treasure lodged in such weak, worthless vessels? The reason is to convince us that the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. The apostle said in another place, "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth. But who gives the increase? God. God gives the increase. Success depends entirely and absolutely on the immediate blessing and influence of God. That has to be obvious. And when people see your cracks, when they see your weaknesses, it is obvious to them that it's not you. It has to be the power of God in your life. If you cover up the cracks, you're saying to people, the power's of me. But the Lord says, no, let those cracks shine through. Leave them alone. Let them be. And then people will see that the excellency of the power is not of you, but it's of me. So instead of muddying up the cracks, fill the cracks with the bright, glorious light of Christ, and the cracks will be impossible to see. Josh, if you could turn those lights off just for one more second. Can you see these cracks in this clay pot? I don't know if you can see them all the way back there. But now with the lights off and the light of Christ, you can still see some. They can't see over there. The light disappears. I mean, the light shines through and the cracks are not as obvious. And the brighter the light of Christ coming through us, the less obvious the cracks will be. And so we allow the Lord to shine through us, and we allow the Lord to do a work. We had recently made a headboard, and I had cut a piece of plywood behind it on one end, just a tad too short. And you could see, in the daylight, you could see the hole, or how it was short. But when we put it up against the wall, you would not be able to see that crack, that little sliver, was even there. And when you turned on the lights, it was completely gone. Because the light fills the cracks and makes it look like it's whole. And that's what the Lord wants to do for us. As His light shines through us, people will see Him and they won't even see us. They'll see Him and they won't even... That should be our goal. That Christ gets all glory. And when people look at us, they see Christ only always living in me, living in you. Thanks, Josh. God doesn't just cover up the mistakes either. The Romans tried to copy the craftsmanship of Greek pottery and often used inferior material. They would fill the small cracks of pockmarks with wax and then they would paint over them. The unsuspecting buyer discovered the wax when he put the vessel under fire. Quality pottery came with a label, and the label was sincere. The word sincerity comes from the Latin words sin, without, and sere, wax. So the word sincere meant this piece of pottery was not done over. It was not waxed and painted over. It's the real thing. God wants you to be sincere and honest with Him. He can use you despite your weaknesses if you are honest with Him about those weaknesses. In fact, He will not only use you, your weaknesses will become His strength. It'll become a means of the strength and the power of God in your life. But if you try to cover up the cracks, if you try to mud them up or to paint over them, when the fire of trial comes, you're going to break under pressure. And people will see the cracks that were there. You will be exposed. The trials of life expose us for what we really are. You know who you really are? You really are the person that you are when trials and the fires of life come. And then how many times do we keep wanting to fix things ourselves? Take things into our own hands? Lord, I'd like to fix this problem that I have. And we try to take things into our own hands. I've discovered that it's a mess whenever I do that. In fact, do you ever have any of your children come to you with something they wanted to have you fix? About the time you get it halfway fixed, they take it and they say, oh, I see how you do that. And they go and they try to fix it themselves, and they come back about 10 minutes later and they say, Dad, can you fix it? They thought they could fix it, but they really couldn't quite get it done. And that's how we are. We see God working in our lives, and sometimes we get to the point, oh, God, I see what you're doing. I can fix that. I can handle that situation myself. Thank you, God. And then we have to come back a while later and we say, God, here I am. I tried, but I couldn't fix it. I need your help to do so. Replace your strength with the strength of the Spirit. Let the Lord do the work. Replace your strength with the strength of the truth of the Word and the armor of all prayer. Be a bright, shining, cracked pot for Christ. That's my challenge to you tonight. Be a cracked pot for Christ. I don't mean a cracked pot. I mean a cracked pot. Be a cracked pot for Christ. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The Lord doesn't want what you have. He wants you. And He wants you in your weakness. Don't try to strengthen yourself up first and then present yourself to God. God wants you just the way you are. In your weakness, in your humanity, in your failings, in your shortcomings. In fact, those very things that are weaknesses will become the means of His strength. Over and over again, I'm amazed at Moses. His weakness was his speech. He stuttered. He even refused the call of God because he said he couldn't speak. And yet when Stephen was being stoned, he talked about Moses and how he was mighty and anointed in speech. See, God used the weak thing that Moses had, his speech, and God showed himself strong through it. He became mighty as a speaker. God wants to use the weak things in your life to show his power. And he'll use those weak things to demonstrate to the world his power and strength. Linda Down discovered real power, and she needed it. She had dealt with the limitations of cerebral palsy all her life. One day she got this crazy idea of running the New York Marathon. But Linda walked with difficulty, so running seemed out of the question. She used Canadian canes with arm clamps to steady her arms. On top of this, she was 25 pounds overweight and jobless. In a state of depression, she began reading the scriptures. She began to read about how the power of God worked in people's lives. She read Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So she began to train. And while training, she listened for God. She thought as she was running in the dark at night, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. She thought about her limited dreams. How much could she do with her handicap? She thought about her inability to see beyond the obstacles of life. Faith, she said to herself, I love this, was running in spite of the insurmountable obstacles. Faith was running in spite of those obstacles she didn't know that she could overcome. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As the New York Marathon began that cold morning, over 10 years ago now, she wore gloves on her hands to soften the impact of the crutches. It was windy, especially on the bridges and on the tops of the hills. She had not expected the beginning to be so difficult. As she finished the mile-long Narrows Bridge, there were no runners in sight ahead of her. They had all run so fast and so far out of view. Even the spectators were gone for the most part. They had left that area. They'd went ahead to see the other runners. But one little girl ran out onto the street and cheered her on. "You can do it," she said. Others later on the curb applauded and cheered and shouted. They brought tears to Linda's eyes and helped her to keep going. 10 hours later, Linda was still running in the dark through dangerous neighborhoods. Some admiring spectators walked with her for safety. And then an ABC TV camera crew showed up and followed the story of her courage. She continued to run. She wore a hole-in-one sneaker from dragging it across the ground. Her hands ached and throbbed. Her arms became black and blue and swollen. She couldn't speak to anyone because of the fatigue, but she continued to run. And as she ran, she prayed, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Then two parks and recreation trucks in Central Park came by and stayed with her to light the way. After 11 hours of struggle and running over 27 miles, Linda crossed the finish line. People were crying, even the TV crew was crying, and Linda was crying at the response and support that she had received from God and these people. She thanked God for the power to do such a miraculous thing. Later, she was invited to go to the White House and was pictured on the front page of the New York Times. Her story was not just the story of a noble effort. It was the story of the power of God at work. And I want you to know this evening that God wants to do that work in your lives, and God wants to do it in my lives, and God wants to do it in more important ways than running marathons. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God keeps us continually dependent upon Himself. We have nothing that we have not received. And we will receive the necessary supply just when it's necessary. And we have nothing at our command, but every good and every perfect gift and all power and strength that we need comes from our Heavenly Father who loves us and gives good gifts to His children as they need Him. The good, therefore, that is done is so evident to everyone that the power has to be of God. And none can pretend to share the glory with Him. I close with a poem. The Master was searching for a vessel to use. Before Him were many. Which one would He choose? "Take me," cried the gold one. "I'm shiny and bright. I'm of great value, and I do things just right. My beauty and luster will outshine the rest. And for somebody like you, Master, gold would be best." The Master passed on with no word at all and looked at the silver urn, narrow and tall. "I'll serve you, dear Master. I'll pour your wine. I'll be on your table whenever you dine. My lines are so graceful, my carving so true, and silver will always compliment you." Unheeding, the Master passed on to the brass, wide-mouthed and shallow and polished like glass. "Hear, hear," cried the vessel. "I know I will do. Place me on your table for all men to view." "Look at me," called the goblet of crystal so clear. "My transparency shows, my content so dear. Though fragile am I will serve you with pride. I'm sure I'll be happy in your house to abide." The Master came next to a vessel of wood. Polished and carved, it solidly stood. "You may use me, dear Master," the wooden bowl said, "but I'd rather you use me for fruit, not for bread." Then the Master looked down and saw a vessel of clay. Empty and broken, it helplessly lay. No hope had the vessel that the Master might choose to cleanse and make whole, to fill and to use. "Ah, this is the vessel I've been hoping to find. I'll mend it and use it and make it all mine. Indeed, not a vessel with pride of itself, nor one that is narrow to sit on a shelf, nor one that is big-mouthed and shallow and loud, nor one that displays his contents so proud. Not the one who thinks he can do things just right, but this plain earthly vessel filled with power and might." Then gently he lifted the vessel of clay, mended and cleansed it and filled it that day. spoke kindly to it. There's work you must do. Just pour out to others as I pour in to you. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening? God is looking for you. God is looking for you. Yes, you might be broken. Yes, you might have weaknesses. All the more that makes you a candidate for God's service. God wants you. You are just the vessel. If you are broken, you are just the vessel He's been looking for. You are the vessel that He wants to fill with His precious treasure. He wants to fill you with His Spirit so that He might use you for His eternal glory. Don't be ashamed of the brokenness. Don't be ashamed as you may lay on the floor, broken and shattered. Jesus Christ, the master potter, can put the pieces together. And as He puts the pieces together, His light will shine through you. You see, you have to be cracked. You have to be broken in order to be used. You have to be broken in order for the light of Christ to shine through you. Maybe tonight you can thank God for the brokenness. Maybe you've not been able to do that before. But maybe tonight you could say, thank you, Lord, for those times of brokenness. Because now I see what you can do. Now I see that I had to be broken for you to use me. I had to be broken so that your light could shine through me. Thank you, Lord, for breaking me. Thank you for the brokenness. And then tonight, would you just be willing to let the Lord do the work in you? That's one of the hardest things to do, but would you be willing to let the Lord do the work? Don't try to muddy up the cracks. Don't try to wax them up and then paint over them. Let the cracks remain there. And as the light of Christ becomes so bright, those cracks will not be obvious to anyone. But even if they are, they then know that the excellency of the power that is within you is of Christ and not of you yourselves. Lord, we thank you that you have broken us. We thank you for the treasure that you have placed inside these earthen vessels. We thank you, Lord, that you've chosen to place that precious treasure inside of us, inside of each of us. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for reaching down and picking us up and mending and molding us and making us after your will. We thank you for the excellency of the power of Christ that is in our lives, not because of who we are or anything that we have done, but because of who you are and what you have done in us and now do through us. Lord, tonight we want to be a bright, shining, cracked pot for you. Help us to be that cracked pot for Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like us to take our song books tonight. Turn to page, I think it's 147. Nope. Have thine own way, Lord. 167. 167. Make this your prayer this evening. Let's stand as we sing it.
Have thine own way.
Father, you are the potter, and we are the clay. Lord, we place ourselves upon the potter's wheel, that you would have your way with us. Lord, make us and mold us after your will, what you want. Help us, Lord, to be mendable. Help us to remain on the wheel so that you could accomplish your work in us. Lord, we humble ourselves tonight that you might be exalted in us and through us. Pray, Lord, that we would keep the message before us, that in times when we are broken, we would not be ashamed of it, but, Lord, we would realize that it is our power. Pray that you would bless our fellowship, those that decide to stay. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. You can go help yourself downstairs. We'll have some cake if you'd like.